chapter number 2. I've had this message on my heart for the last few days in thinking about our fall program coming up. Lord knows my heart tonight. I want to be a soul winner. I don't want to just come in church and say I believe the Bible. I want to do something about it. And that's why I want to bring this message tonight, to be a help to you as we begin our fall program next week. Mark chapter number 2, verse 1.
All right, give me up here just a little bit, Brother Roy. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. My scripture full of stuff. I cannot hardly read it without stopping and saying something. Look at that. You want to learn how to be a commentary writer? Look, it was noise that he was in the house, verse 1. Now what do you get out of that? You just read that and go on, or does it say something to you? It was noise that he was in the house. And the best advertisement any church can have is let Jesus get in it. You've never saw his picture on a poster, but there's never been a revival where he wasn't there. There's never been a soul saved where he wasn't doing the preaching. Amen? You've never heard his name mentioned on the radio as being the visiting evangelist, but I'll guarantee you one thing, if it's real what's going on, he is in the house. It was noise abroad, boy. People went out and told it everywhere. And they were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them. What does that say? Blows out that old theory that if you preach the Word of God, nobody won't come. Got a lot of old sourpuss preachers going around, and they're saying, bless God, if you preach it straight, there ain't many going to come hear you. The lie according to this. Jesus Christ preached it straight. Of course, he did run them off a time or two, but he had a crowd here. Amen? No, not so much as about the door. What else does it say? He preached the word unto them. There is nothing wrong with preaching the word. Preaching the word is decent. It's in order. It's proper. It is vogue. It is cosmopolitan. It is right up with the times, brother. Nothing outdated about preaching the word of God. Now, here's where we're going to bring the message from tonight. Verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Four men brought another man to Jesus. He was sick, couldn't make it. We'll deal with that in just a minute. You preachers, I ain't going to use this title, but here's a good title for this message. The ten-legged man who was let down by the quartet who raised the roof off the house. And you'll find all of that here in this scripture. All right, sick of the palsy, born of four. Verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that ain't the news media. Press in the Bible is talking about a big crowd of people. They uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their what? Faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be healed. Wrong. Here's another great truth. The Lord always wants to deal with your sin problem before he fixes your physical problem. A lot of people these days, all they think about is, God, heal me, God, heal me, come and be healed, come and be healed. The Lord can and does heal, but what God's interested in is your sins getting forgiven. When you get your sins forgiven, then God will touch you. We got this thing all backwards nowadays. Verse 6, there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, so I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, bringing men to Jesus. And we're going to use these four men as a picture of what you and I, as you've heard me do this maybe before, what you and I need in our lives if we are going to be in the ministry of reconciliation. Turn over in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 by way of introduction tonight. And I want to show you a verse of scripture that some of our Christian folks have somehow overlooked. And it is 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we'll look down there at about verse number 18. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. You hear a lot of talk about 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I'm going to show you a good one. 2 Corinthians 5, 18. Isn't it strange that the verse that comes right after the verse that said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, talks about us going out and getting somebody and bringing them to God? You better think about that. You better pray about that. Always read 18 when you read 17. What's talking about that new creature? Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Stop right there. What's that verse saying? That verse says that God Almighty, we're over here sinners, here's God, and we're parted from God. We're alienated from God. And we have to be reconciled. We have to be brought back to God. And God did it through Jesus Christ. We was out here, and the Lord said, we need you over here. He let Jesus die on the cross. Bam! Brought us and God together. Hallelujah. Everybody can shout on that. But look at the second part of that verse. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that means? After we're reconciled, our job is to go reconcile other people to Jesus. It's our job to bring other people to Jesus. It didn't say the apostles, it said us. He's talking about every single child of God. Look at verse 20. Now then we are what? Ambassadors. You know what that is? Men that's sent on a job to bring a message from one country to another. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God beseeches you by us. We go out here in these next weeks and we start knocking on doors and we start saying, would you come to church or would you come to the Lord Jesus? We are given the word of reconciliation from God to a sinner. We are throwing out the lifeline. Let's talk about tonight bringing men to Jesus. I believe if you and somebody got something against each other and you've had hard words with each other and you don't like it, the best thing you can do is get down and pray together and go out and witness somebody and win somebody the Lord. By the time that person gets up off their knees, you'll be a hugging necks. You'll forgot ever little bit of disagreement you've ever had. Let me tell you something, brother. The devil lights it up while we bicker and bellyache and nitpick over things that ain't going to matter in eternity while the world is going to hell without God. Amen? I believe that God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. How many people in here say that? Raise your hand. You're saying, all right, God has given you, that raise your hand, the ministry of reconciliation. You've got a job to do, and that job is to reconcile sinners to God. No excuses. No alibis will be accepted by the Lord. Bringing men to Jesus. Now, I want to give you this in the form of parable tonight. You've heard me. It listens like this. Here's an old boy. He's laying on the side of the road. He's got the palsy. Now, when a man had the palsy in those days, he's in bad shape. He just hobbled up and he couldn't hardly move. And he's all just like this. And he's laying on this bed. And he's just a laying there. He's helpless. He cannot walk. He cannot get to God by himself. He cannot do anything unless somebody helps him. All right, you got that? There's a fella laying over here. Maybe he says he's over here on the steps. And he's just laying there. And no way to get any help at all. Now, way down the road here, it might have been 7 or 8, 10 miles, they was having a service. And that service was in a house, since they had no church built in those days. And Jesus was in the house preaching, right? He's over here, and boy, I mean, he is laying it on thick and heavy. And the Lord was saying, and there'll be wars and rumors of wars. And man, he is a preaching up a storm. And there were so many people packed in there that they couldn't even get in the door. And the old deacons and all the old members of the church were out there watching on the outside. And there were some old hypocrites out there too, snooping around. They wasn't wanting to do nothing for God. They was just wanting to snoop around and nosy
tent to see who they could find to talk about and see who they could find trying to run their mouth about. You know, it seemed like the more I live, I hear new rumors about me all the time. I hear them all the time. But if you want to get in a fault-finding contest, I could find just as much wrong with you as you could be. And nowadays, a lot of folks, that's all they do is spend their time in nothing else but to nosy in somebody else's business. But anyway, that's what some of them were doing. But there was some of them that were sincere, no doubt. And buddy, I mean to tell you, there's a looking for something from the Lord. And the story began, this story wouldn't even been recorded if it hadn't been for these four old boys that picked that fella up and brought him to Jesus. What I want to do tonight is bring you an analogy, and try to show you those four men bringing that man to Jesus. How many of you here tonight got somebody on your heart? A brother, a sister, a mama, a dad, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a neighbor, somebody that you're acquainted with. Maybe one of these ladies in here has a lost husband. Or have you got somebody on your heart tonight? Raise your hand. All right, I'm going to tell you how to get them to Jesus. All right? We're going to tell these boys. Now, it started out with this one old boy, and I'm going to name each one of these boys, and each one of these boys is going to represent something you and me is going to have in our lives if we're going to bring our loved ones to Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing loved ones come to Jesus in these next 8 weeks. Maybe like we've never seen it before. Wouldn't that be something? Brother, it can do it. It can happen. God's still on the throne. He's able to do it. Now let's go tonight. First of all, there's an old boy walking down the road. Boy, I can't wait to get over there and hear Jesus preach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I got my King James Bible under my arm. Praise God and sanctified. Filled the Holy Ghost. Got white walls. Look at that. See how short my hair is? I mean to tell you, buddy, I've got long sleeves showing. Ain't showing my nakedness. And I mean to tell you, I've got it all together, brother. I believe 1611. Hallelujah. And he's walking down through there. And he just walks right on by shouting on his way to church. Ain't doing nobody no good. And there's this other old fella comes down the road that day. And as he comes down the hill, he looks there and he sees that fella laying there in bad shape, and all of a sudden his heart is broken, and he looks there and he sees that guy laying there in that shape, and he says, "Oh God!" And brother, his heart broke. You hear me tonight? How long has it been since that happened to you? How long has it been since you looked out there and saw a person and your heart broke? I'm going to call that man's name Compassion. Compassion. You'll never get nobody to Jesus unless you've got compassion. I don't care how much the Bible you know. I don't care how much scripture you can quote. Nothing will take the place of a broken heart for sinners. Brother, that old boy cared about that man. It broke his heart. We was coming up the road today and I saw a guy down the street here and he was walking like he was drunk. And I don't know what, but my heart goes out to drunks. Honest to goodness. I know a lot of people say, oh, sorry thing, they can do better if they wanted to. But my heart, it breaks. Every time I see an old drunk staggering up and down East Court Street, it just like a knife sticking in me. And I don't know why. I guess because I've dealt with them on the street and preached to them. But I mean to tell you, brother, every time I see one, it's just like something just rings my insides. And I think, Lord, that could be my daddy. That could be my daddy over yonder on the railroad track with these body cut all to pieces. That could be my daddy laying down in the ditch somewhere with his head beat in where they've stole all his money. That could be your daddy. That is somebody's daddy. And it ought to break our heart. You hear me tonight? Our church don't have a right to shout and carry on unless we've got a broken heart for sinners, folks. Oh, Compassion looked over there at him and his heart went out and he thought, oh, I wish I could help that guy. Oh, I wonder how long he's been in that shape. I'm going to move him from over there over here, okay? And he said, I wish I could help him. I wish there was something I could do for that guy. It's breaking my heart. How long has it been since you got down and with a broken heart saw those young people getting on those school buses? How long has it been since it broke your heart when you see them in the newspaper, when you see them arrested for drugs and or murder, rape, or robbery? How long has it been since you drove by that neighbor's house? And it broke your heart to think about them going to hell. I was thinking about one of my neighbors that lives near me this evening. I thought, God, do I really have a burden for him? Thought about this man, and all of a sudden, for a split second, I pictured him with fire going up around him. And I thought about him being in hell. Buddy, I tell you what, folks, if we get a burden and a vision and see our neighbors burning in hell, it'd give us some passion. Compassion! There's an old boy, the Lord told a story one time about this man that got beat up, fell among thieves, and they left him on the side of the road to die. And the Bible said a certain priest came by that way, and when he looked at him, he wouldn't defile his old hypocritical self. Went side of the street, went on down the road. Then there was a Levite came by that way. He done the same thing. And then the Lord said a certain Samaritan, when he saw him, he came where he was and had what? Compassion on him. You'll never be a soul winner. You'll never get nobody to God until you get some compassion in your heart. Some of us need to pray, God, break my heart for sinners. How long's it been since you stayed up an extra 15 minutes just dedicating a few minutes to praying to God to save that person you're burdened for? And old Compassion looked over and he thought, not. I'd give anything if I could help him. But that's all he could do. He by himself would have never got that man to Jesus. About that time, there's a second man walked up. And buddy, he come down the road that day. Living by faith in Jesus above. And boy, he's getting ready to go hear the Lord preach. And all of a sudden, seen this man laying there. And old Compassion. And he stopped and said, what's the matter with you, man? He said, this fella, look at him here. Look at him here. He's in bad shape. Oh, it just kills me to see him in that shape. He had compassion, but compassion was not enough. You hear me? Compassion was not enough. Compassion is not enough to get your daddy to heaven. Compassion is not enough to get that teenage boy, that girl to Jesus. Compassion is not enough to get that old infidel grandfather of yours or next door neighbor to God. He was bawling there, and this other fella up there, and his name was Faith. And brother old Faith looked down at him and he said, what's the problem? And Compassion said, well, it just kills me to see him in that shape. And old Faith looked down and he said, well, I tell you, I believe Jesus could help that man. There's the second thing you've got to have, brother. You've got to have some old-timey faith. You've got to believe. You know, there's a lot of people that feel sorry for sinners out here. Oh, isn't it pitiful, these young people in Satanism? Oh, isn't it pitiful, all these girls having abortion, getting on drugs? Oh, isn't that terrible? But it'll do you good until you stand up and say, I believe that Jesus could help that individual if I could get them in here. Faith. The Bible teaches us that it's most important. When, matter of fact, when the Lord out of these four boys, when he saw them, he picked faith. He said, when Jesus saw faith, not the compassion, not them other two, when Jesus saw their faith, without faith it is impossible to please God. You cannot do anything for God without faith. You've got to believe. When we stepped out here and built this church, brother, it was by faith and First Federal. When we stepped out and brought that camp, brother, it was by faith. When we stepped out, and every time I've ever knocked on a door and took the gospel to somebody, there has to be an element of faith in what you do, or you'll never get them to God without believing that God could help them. I know a lot of people, they say, well, Brother Danny, old so-and-so's in bad shape, and it just breaks my heart. But they say, well, I don't believe he'll ever change. No, he won't. Not as long as we have that attitude. You have got to believe. You have got to believe. Not only have compassion on them, you've got to have faith to believe that Jesus can help that person. I remember my daddy, before daddy ever got saved, the devil told me over and over and over. He said, your daddy will never get saved. And daddy was drinking pretty heavy and it was bothering me and I was all torn apart. And I won't go into a big long story tonight, but I'll tell you one thing. I kept trying to convince myself, God, you can do it. God, if you can make the world, God, if you can create the stars and the planet, God, you can save my daddy. You've got to believe that, friend. You have got to believe. Don't ever quit believing. I don't care how bad that person is. I don't care how far you think they've gone. Look at the people in here tonight whom most people will tater say, sitting there tonight, and some of these other people that who would have ever thought that they'd have ever come in? But thank God somebody held on. Thank God somebody said, I believe the Lord can do it. And he can, thank God. He can. I don't care how bad. You say, oh, preacher, my husband's a nut. I know God's got a hammer to crack any nut in McDowell County, too. He can do it. He can do it. You say, well, you don't know my husband, preacher. No, I may not, but I'll guarantee you one thing. You keep on believing. So here they went. Compassion just bawling his eyes out. Faith said, I believe the Lord can help him. Compassion said, you reckon he really could? And faith said, yeah, if you're that tore up man, I believe the Lord will do anything to somebody in bad a shape as he is and as burdened as you are. And compassion said, you reckon? Oh, it'd be so wonderful. And faith said, yeah, he can do it. He can do it. All things are possible with God. Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He quoted all kinds of scripture that hadn't even been written yet in the book of Mark. And brother, I tell you what, they got to shouting around there a little bit and having a time. They couldn't get nowhere until another fella come along. Here he comes down the road. Buddy, he's got muscles. Hallelujah! I'm born again on the way, washed the blood, walking, treading the pilgrim pathway on my way to glory. And boy, he come down through here, there set compassion a-crying and a-shouting. There set faith a-quoting scriptures. Boy, he is a-quoting them, I mean, brother, he is a-rattling them off. And boy, this third fella, he looked at him, he said, what in the world is going on? The boy laying there like this. Are you going to do anything for me or not? And boy, he's laying there. That's a picture of your mama, your daddy, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins, my aunts, my uncle. And boy, there he laid. And this old boy said, what seems to be the problem around here? And about that time, the old compassion said, well, you see, my heart's broke for this guy. He's in bad shape, man. It's killing me to see him laying there like that. And this old second boy stepped up and he said, then I believe Jesus could help him. And this next boy, I'm going to call his name what? Works. 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 Faith without works is what? He'd have laid down and died, brother, had not this old third boy, but he flexed them muscles. He said, I've had my Cheerios this morning. He said, if you feel sorry for him and you believe God can help him, why don't we pick him up and take him over where Jesus is? And they said, you reckon we could do it? We never thought about that. He said, that's because you ain't nothing but compassion and you ain't nothing but faith. Faith without me's dead, see, being alone. Faith without works is dead. So it said, well, he said, we ain't going to stop where a lot of them people do. Just go in there and say, oh Lord, you can do anything. But our hearts are burdened for sinners. We're going to do something about it. We're not just going to say it. We're going to do something about it. We're going to throw out the lifeline. We're not only just going to say we believe it. We're going to do something about it. Say we believe. And boy, old faith and words got on that thing. He said, you get that corner and you get that corner. And it And buddy, he ran back and rolled his shirt sleeves up there a little bit and pulled his britches legs up and he got a hold of one corner and compassion got the other and faith got the other and he said, hey buddy, come here a minute. And they found this other fellow walking down the road. I ain't going to tell you his name yet. But they got him over there. He said, grab that corner right there. And one of them said, hee! And boy, here they went. Put them up on their shoulder and off they went to Jesus. Get under the burden for your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins or brothers or whoever you've got a burden for. It's not enough just to feel sorry for them. It's not enough just to say, I believe God can help them. You must get them up, put them on your shoulder and carry them to where Jesus is. That's how somebody got you to God. Somebody got you to God that way. Somehow or another, we're real thankful when we first get saved. But as time goes on, we kind of just sit back and relax. Brother, if it's up to some of us, everybody go to hell. Amen. And son, here they went. It would have been much easier for them all just to hightail it off over there and got them a good seat or a stand place. But no, it made them late for service. You know what I think's abomination to God? It's just popped in my head, so I'm going to say it. I don't know if anybody that's guilty of this, if this has happened recently, you take it from the Lord, brother, because I don't know if anybody in here is guilty. I think it's abomination to God when people call church members wanting to ride to church and the church members ain't even got time to go by and get them and bring them to the house of God. I think it's abomination. Somebody comes up, hey brother, would you mind picking up a little kid over here, a little kid over there? I ain't got time to fool with them. Some Christian you are. Have we forgot the real meaning of this thing? Have we just got into a religious show where we're so spiritual and boy, we want to show everybody how we love the Lord and have forgotten Jesus was a friend of sinners and eat with sinners, fellowship with sinners, and went where they were? Here they went. I don't know how far it was. But every once in a while, I bet he got it. There they went. Whew. Man, I'm sweating. Whew. Oh, I couldn't do that. I got to do that one hand. Whew. Good night, boys. I'm getting tired. And old Faith would look over and say, keep it in my hand, it ain't far. And Faith would say, whew. Ew, my face is getting a little weak. And old Works would holler, just keep a trucking, boy. Keep a trucking. Keep a trucking. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. And here they went. Dust coming up between their toes. There laid that old guy up there headless. No way to get to God unless somebody brought him. God hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Son, they worked and 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 they worked. I know some of you in here tonight have been carrying a person for years. I can see ladies in here tonight whose husbands are not saved. And you and others have literally been carrying them. Don't lay them down, sis.
Amen.
Don't lay it down! Amen. Don't lay it down! You might be a whole lot closer. Hey, the way the devil's been fighting us lately, boy, there ain't no telling what God's getting ready to do.
Amen.
Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just see God, and all of a sudden they went around this last curve. And buddy, we went around that last curve. Faith got revived. He looked over and he said, woo! My faith has become sad. I want you to look yonder. Yeah. Service ain't over. There's a big crowd of people. Boy, he started feeling good then. And buddy, they walked over there. There's a great big crowd of people. All these people right here were in that little service that day, a little bitty house, and the Lord was in there preaching. And here they come. And here they walked up there and they got right up to the edge and there's about 40 old Pharisees standing out front. What are you young men doing? And here they come in compassion and say, I'm about to die, but my heart's broke for this man. And Faith said, I believe the Lord can help him. And Work said, we carried him up a country mile over here to bring him to the Lord. And those old Pharisees looked at him and said, now, you young people can't get in there. It's too full. You can look. We've been trying all day. There's no seats. You might as well take him back home. What does that mean? That means you can expect to be really discouraged by the religious crowd when you start trying to get somebody to God. In other words, your family members are going to say, now, Ken, calm down. You can't in the world. Have you ever had that told to you when you get on fire for God? That's a sure sign you're on fire for God when they start talking to you like that. You're on the right track when they talk like that. They'll say, now, just come. I've had them tell me that, and they'll say, now, Danny, just take it easy. You ain't win everybody. I never remember saying I could win everybody. I've never heard nobody say they could win everybody. Where'd they get that at? You know what you're doing? You're putting them under conviction. Because they ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. As a matter of fact, look at them. They said, you'll never get that man in there, that bed. There's not that much room. The people are jam-packed full. You can't do it. Boy, they said one time his boys went out and won this Hell's Angel to the Lord, and they got him saved. And they brought him into church one Sunday morning. Big old burly guy, you know, the beard and long hair. And they brought him in there. And they the deacons, and they were standing out front, some of the main church members. And they said, looky here, praise God, who got saved? The old boy looked down and said, you think you really got anything? Boy, what an encouragement to a young Christian. I've seen them do that in churches where some young people will go out and get somebody, get on fire for God, and some of the folks that are backslid say, well, now, you think he really got saved. And they just can't wait till that person's backslides. So they say, yeah, I told you. See that? I knowed he didn't get nothing. But that crowd makes God sick. That crowd makes God sick. We have had a lot come up here and backslide. So what, brother? Big deal. That don't mean God ain't saving people still. Boy, what they got him over there in the most discouraging part of the trip was right before they got him there. Which means this. If you just hit a real bad place of discouragement lately, look out. You're getting close. Have you ever noticed that right before your husband gets saved, he gets meaner than the devil? I've seen people say, Lord, Brother Danny, the more I pray for my husband, the meaner he gets. Good sign, brother. Good sign. That means God's working on him. God's working on him. He's getting close. Right when they got him over there, Jesus was. They tried to stop him harder than they ever were. And they said, you boys will never get him in there. You might as well forget it. We've been trying all day to get in there. Go on back home. And faith's faith went and compassion went, oh, and work said, you mean we've done all this for nothing? And determination said, best of it, we ain't giving up till we get him in there to Jesus. If we have to stay here all night, we're going to get him in there. And boy, they throw that ladder up against the side of the house. And them old, can't you see them old Pharisees out there? They swallowed their stogies, boy. I mean, see them going that ladder. And they went up that ladder one at a time, got that fella up. He really went up some building there and got up on top of the house. They went up, there's old guys standing out front and saying, respect the house of God. I don't know about these excited. They're not being, hey, that's all shaft. You ain't never done nothing for God. Tired of hearing your mouth. We're going to get this man to Jesus. Boy, they got him up there on top of the house. Nobody knew down underneath what was going on except one. And that was the Lord. He done knew what was going on up there. He was in there preaching, giving the Beatitudes or something. I mean, he's a-telling about this and love your neighbor and this and that and the other and stuff like that. About that time, here come a little piece of straw. Just like what if right now, some of that stuff started chipping out right there. You'd think, oh, my soul, Hugo's back. He's hitting our church. Right, little piece of, and then all of a sudden, little bits would. And next thing you know, the sunshine and daylight come down through there. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, right when you almost get them to the Lord, you'll get more discouraged right then. You know what they'll promise you they're coming. Maybe one of these big Sundays we're going to have. And then right at the last minute, they'll go off running off with some of their friends or something like that. That'll break your heart. But you just be determined, brother. God may save them at next Wednesday night prayer meeting. Amen? Hey, brother! Old determination said we're going to get him in there. And they tore out that hole in the roof. Jesus is in there. And all of a sudden, just like an angel floating down out of heaven, these ropes just go. Can you imagine people standing around in there? How'd they do that? Where'd he come from? Coming out of the roof? What is this? Ringling, Barnum and Bailey? What kind of a gimmick is this? We don't believe in that. Now he's right in front of the Lord. Four old boys are peeping down in the hole. Oh, glory to God! Old Faith looked down there and said, amen! The Lord's going to do it now. Look out. And old Compassion said, woo! Glory! There he laid down there on his bed, and the Lord looked down. They just said, get him, Lord, get him, get him, get him. And the Lord, he had a few other little things to do first. Had a little doctrine to teach. Had a few Pharisees to rebuke. So the first thing he done, he looked down there and said, your sins is forgiven. Oh, boy. They about blew their clutch out, man. I mean, they about stripped their gears. They said, oh, who do you think you are? Nobody can forgive sin. Oh, he said, I thought you thought that. Just to show you that I can forgive sin. He looked down at that boy. Faith and compassion and works and determination. Oh, determination doesn't have it in his mind made up. He said, if you don't heal him today, we'll follow him wherever he goes tomorrow and take him to him again. I'll guarantee you that's what he is thinking. I'll guarantee you. Now, you people don't know the original Greek. You can't get all this stuff. That's why God has preachers like me to tell you all these deep things. He said, we'll get him to God if we have to bring him back next day. We ain't giving up. Even the Lord don't touch him. We ain't giving up. The Lord looked down at that guy and he said, get up and walk. All he had to do. And buddy, that old boy's hands went boom, and his ankle bones got straight, and he went, good night. He come up from there like this, rolled up his sleeping bag, went, woo, glory, appreciate it, boys. And boy went up down through that crowd, said, excuse me, right down through the middle of there. And man, I want you to know, he hit up yonder on the outside, those four old soul winning boys. They never got their picture in the paper, they never got no credit, but I want you to know, that miracle was made possible because of faith and compassion and works and determination. And God can still do the same thing right here in McDowell County in 1989 if we'll have those things in our life. That's what we're going to do. We're going to throw our lifeline. I could tell you a bunch of stories tonight. I'm going to tell you one. I thought about Brother J.D.
How many of y'all was in the service up there in the old building when J.D. got saved that night? Oh, what a time. You know what happened?
We had
11 or 12 ladies in our church at that time whose husbands were lost. And them ladies would get together and pray for their lost husbands. And I remember them coming in up there. And ladies would be all the way across the altar just bellering.
Buddy, they was broken hearted. And they said, please. And Sherry comes, she got saved by, y'all don't mind me telling this, do you think? And she was burdened for her husband because J.D. wasn't saved. And a couple of them went out and witnessed to J.D. and, well, I caught the burden. I don't know how I caught it somehow or another. I just caught the burden. And buddy, I mean, people got on their knees and prayed for J.D. to get saved. We didn't know it then. He didn't know it either. But we was carrying him, Jesus.
And I remember on Monday night, I went out. We had visitation on Monday nights in those days. And on Monday night, I went out and sat down and talked to him. I don't know, was there anybody here with me that night? Maybe I might have myself. I thought there was somebody with me. But anyway, me and somebody went out there and visited him out there in a trailer out there in Sugar Hill. And I sat down and I went through the whole plan of salvation. I said, J.D., why don't you get saved? God can save you right now. Why don't you get saved? And he just stared at the floor. He wouldn't say yes. He wouldn't say no. The girls were praying and fasting. They had compassion. They had faith. We went in up and we had works. We was going to get him to God.
And I'll never forget that week. People prayed and people prayed and people prayed, and our church wasn't very old. And at that time,
I think our church was about a year and a half old. Something like that. I think it was around the last of 1978, first 79, somewhere along in there.
And I remember I was supposed to preach at a little old church way up near the Virginia line on Sunday morning. I promised them I'd come a long time ago. And I went. And it snowed that morning. I was trying to hear some preaching on the radio, the weather, and the snow was blowing down. And I forgot who was preaching at our church that morning, but I was praying, God help them. God bless them. God, maybe you can get a hold of J.D. and save him this morning. And I went way off up yonder near, it's almost a step above North Wilkesboro up yonder.
And I preached up there that morning. I'd got up early to drive up there. Been up late the night before studying. And that evening I got home about 2 o'clock and a bunch of people was over at your house, Lenny. Remember that? And they said, come on over there after you get through and we'll save you something to eat. I got over there at 2:30, something like that. And I ate dinner over there at her house. And then we went home. We went and lived in a little old green, the little shack over yonder in Nebo. On the hill. And I'll never forget that evening. That evening there was the strangest burden come on my heart to pray for J.D. And normally, on Sunday afternoon, I always try to lay down and take a nap. I did this afternoon. I did most, you know what I'm talking about, that Sunday evening syndrome just hits you. Buddy, it hit me.
Especially since I've been up late that night, got up about early, maybe 6:30 that morning, something took off. And oh, I was so sleepy, and it was cold, and we had a little old bitty Siegler oil heater. That's what we heated that little house with, one of them little bitty ones. And that thing had a little fan blowing, and I'd always get down and pray in front of that thing, and I'd put my feet up against where that fan would blow and keep my feet warm, because your feet will freeze off when you're down praying. Your blood don't get to them or something. And I always do that. Now I cover them up with a blanket or something, but I put them up against that little blower, and I remember that plain as day. I wanted to go to sleep so bad I couldn't stand it. But for the strangest reason, I told God, I said, God, if you'll save him, I ain't going to sleep today. I'm going to stay awake and pray. And every time I'd just kind of get numb, I'd shake myself and say, God, get ahead and save him. And in a minute, I'd get so sleepy I couldn't stand it. I'd start getting numb, you know, going out. And I'd say, God, get ahead. I didn't know it. I did not know it. I didn't know it until months later. But Brother Dale Cable, that same evening, had the strangest desire to stay awake all evening and pray for J.D. I didn't even know it. He didn't know I was doing it. I didn't know he was doing it. Now I look back and I see Sherry had one corner. I had another corner. Brother Dale had another corner. And somebody, I don't know who it was, had the other. And we was going. That evening, we determined an hour. That night, we came into church up there in the old building. We used to have a prayer room way up there where the special citizens class is now. Special citizens women's class. We'd all get up there and pray. And I got down and I said, boys, pray for J.D. I hadn't talked to him since Monday. I said, I'm so burdened for him. We had no idea he was going into church that night. We got down and prayed for him in the prayer room. I got up there in the pulpit and looked back and there he said, well, we're on that side. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. And Jesus was in the house that night. He sure was. That night I preached on Hebrews 2:3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And I use it in the evangelistic sense. And I said, you don't get saved. There ain't no hope for you. There ain't no hope for you. There ain't no hope for you. We gave the invitation. It went on for 4 or 5 minutes there. And a few people come. All of a sudden, right down through the ceiling came J.D. It looked like it anyway. He came down that side. And brother, the last thing I remember seeing was him coming down the aisle. You know what? I thought about all that evening when I'd prayed for him. I thought about that week we had prayed for him. We brought him to Jesus. There ain't no doubt in my mind, brother. He was carried to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wound up, next thing I know, brother, I was shouting all over the place. The glory of God fell. It was on. I mean, we had a fullest time ever was. That was one of the greatest services I've ever been in since I've been saved. You know, at a certain time, just stand out in your mind. My God done a work that night. God in heaven done a mighty miracle that night, just as sure as I'm sitting here. And boy, it was all because somebody caught a burden. It was all because somebody went. Somebody prayed. Somebody had faith. Somebody had compassion. Somebody had works. And thank God somebody had determination. You know somebody you need to take the preserver to? Throw it out to them? I'll tell you what I'll do. By the help of God, I'll help you carry them. Okay? I'll get it in. You help me carry mine? Folks, y'all know good and well we ain't all going to agree on everything. You just might as well get that out of your head. It ain't going to happen. By the time you think you agree on everything, something else come up you disagree on. Best thing to do is just for that. Grab a hold of one of them corners of these poor sinners and bring them to God. Because they're going to hell without Him. Let's stand by our heads. Now I believe tonight that somebody here has got a real, genuine burden. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. And if you need these four things, you say, God, give me faith. Give me compassion. Give me words and give me determination. Ask God to put them four things in you. And I'll guarantee you bring some by the Lord in the next 8 weeks. I'll guarantee you can. Maybe a little bus kid. It may be a Sunday school kid. It may be a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad. But you can get it. You can get that stuff. Thank God for many, many, many. It's already coming. Let's ask God to really burden our hearts. Would you do it? Dear God in heaven, do something for us tonight that only you can do. We can't fake a burden, God. It's got to come from you. Oh, Lord, help us to have it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead.